Said that last night. I'll say it again tonight. Don't worry. I've called the school districts, told them your kids won't be at school tomorrow. So there's no reason to hurry. Amen? All right. Luke chapter number 14. I want to say thank you again for inviting us, allowing us to be here. We have truly been blessed. As Brother Sid said, we came hoping to be a blessing to you, but you guys have been a blessing to us. And I like what he said, hey, we found another church family. It's pretty cool. And so we thank you guys for that. We feel at home here, and so we thank you for that. And I don't want to embarrass her, but I want to recognize Miss Kathy Cundiff tonight. She is really the one that keeps everything together around here. I've noticed that pretty quick. I knew she wouldn't want anybody to say that about her, but pretty obvious. Thank you, Miss Kathy, for what you've done this week. A lot of planning goes into that, and I thank you for it. Luke chapter number 14. The message I had slated to preach tonight has been preached already 3 or 4 different times this week. And so I think maybe God wants to concrete it into our heads tonight. And so I'm still going to share what God has given me. It's just been a great conference. We've been challenged. We've been encouraged. We're excited to go back and just keep serving the Lord. And so we want to thank each speaker for that. You know, can I be honest with you? You know, Sid's here, and Sid's been a great blessing to me. He's gotten us scriptures. His footprint and his shadow is on the state of Oaxaca by what he's done. And it's a huge blessing, and somebody, maybe Randy said it, but he pays for a lot of his ministry out of his own pocket. And so he's here needing support. Lee Carter's here needing support. These guys will tell you, hey, we need your prayer support, but they need finances as well. You know, Mike's getting ready to go to Boston. I think his name's Mike. He needs support. And so that's why the missionaries come. We're on the field. Praise the Lord for that. So if you have to choose, man, support these guys. Help these guys in their ministries. I know it would be a blessing to them. It would be a blessing to the Lord. And so you guys do what you need to do there with those. But thank you, Sid, for supplying the scripture to us. It's a huge blessing. I thank you for that. You know, being on the mission field is pretty hard. You know, I've talked about that a little bit this week. It's very demanding. It's hard on my wife. She said, well, why is it hard on your wife? Well, she has to share her husband with a town of 12,000 people. You know, I'm gone a lot. People are wanting my time. You know, and she wants my time. And so it's hard. It's not easy. The things people need counsel for, it's very tough. You know, everybody wants our time, everybody wants our resources. We can't go anywhere to hide. You know, we live in a glass bubble. Everybody's watching us, waiting for us to fail. You know, sometimes my flesh says, you know, hey, this is too hard. It's too hot. I've said that this week. Man, it's hot. Say it again. It's hot. I'm dreading going home on Friday. It's going to be hot. You know, sometimes we encounter people that don't want to hear about what God's done for them. You know, sometimes we think, hey, I'm wasting my time. But you know, I've had to learn that there's a cost involved in following Jesus Christ. There's a cost involved in serving God. And so the question I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to pay that cost? Luke chapter number 14, start reading at verse number 25, it says there, And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, Luke 14:26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's pretty tough words. Pretty hard pill to swallow right there. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Thus happily, after you have laid the foundation, is not able to finish it. All that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else why the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Father, we love you tonight. Father, we thank you for what we've already heard. Father, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, Lord, tonight. Lord, this is the final service. Lord, we're asking you to do it one more time. Lord, open our hearts and our eyes and our ears that we may see Jesus. Lord, help us to count the cost. Lord, help us to decide tonight whether it's worth it or not. Father, we love you. Father, use me tonight. It's in your name we pray. Amen. He tells us here in this passage that any man that hateth not his father and his mother, children, wife, cannot be my disciple. He that doesn't bear his own cross cannot be my disciple. You know, it's ironic that he tells us in verse number 27, whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And I thought about that, and I thought, well, you know, the fleshly side of Christ didn't bear his own cross. Somebody had to help him. I thought that was interesting. And then it dawned on me that Christ is that one that wants to help us bear that cross. We can let him bear that cross. You know, the task that Jesus had was very hard. He had to go to the cross. He had to suffer the shame of cruel punishment. You know, the Bible says that we're going to suffer just as he suffered. We're going to be shamed just as he was shamed. Go to 1 Peter chapter number 4. Put your finger in Luke chapter 14. We'll come back to there. 1 Peter chapter number 4. First Peter chapter 4, verse number 1 says, for as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, look what he says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Saying, Christian, get ready. Get ready. There's things that you're going to have to sacrifice to follow Christ. There's things you're going to have to suffer. There's a cost to be paid. And so I want to encourage you tonight to sit down and count the cost and find out if you're willing to indeed pay that price. And here's a man sitting right here. Sid, how old are you? 71. 71, serving the Lord Jesus. 71. What's our problem? Why are we not as dedicated as this man? Driving all over the country. Man, it's incredible what he does. And so we need to count the cost and decide if we're willing to pay that cost. You know, we need to plan ahead and think what following God will look like, what it'll cost tomorrow, what it's going to cost us next week or next year. You know, the cost of following Christ will always change. You know, the cost is never the same day after day or month after month. You know, one has to make sure that they're willing to pay the cost today in order to be able to pay the cost tomorrow. One needs to be sure that they're faithful in least today to be faithful in much tomorrow. And so as I began to think about counting the cost, you know, we think of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter number 9 when he was on the road to Damascus and the Lord spoke to him. What was the first question he asked? Who art thou, Lord? He knew who he was. He wasn't saying, hey, who are you? I don't know who you are. He wasn't saying that. He was determining within himself if Jesus Christ was worthy enough to serve. He was determining within himself if Jesus Christ was worthy enough to leave his former life. And once he got that figured out, he said, okay, Lord, what will you have me to do? He was willing to pay the cost. He was willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. And so in Luke chapter number 14, in verse number 28, it says, for which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? You know, it's going to cost you some finances. No way around it. Serving God is going to cost you some finances. Getting involved in missions is going to cost you finances. We just passed the offering plates. It's going to cost something. Are you willing to pay that? Oh, well, Brother Joe, you don't know what it's like to have a good job. I worked for Ferrellgas. I worked for the same company 15 years. Started out there making $11 an hour as a 20-something-year-old kid. And I'm not bragging on myself, but bragging on the Lord. When I left there, I was making $97,000 a year. They thought I was stupid for walking away. They thought I was crazy. I said, there's nothing. I'm not doing anything. I'm keeping people warm. Buy a blanket. I'm going to the mission field. That's what it comes down to. And so we need to determine if Christ is worthy enough to pay the cost. You know, it's not something that just dawned on me overnight. When I was a little boy, I don't know if I was ever little, when I was a younger guy, I don't know, maybe 8 or 9 years old, my dad was pastoring in Levittown, Pennsylvania. And this is about the time, maybe about the time these Karate Kid movies came out. And so I was practicing karate. I was waxing everything. I was painting everything, just trying to do what I could do. One night after church, I got in a fight with this kid. You know, I'm sitting here doing all these moves. It was the most ridiculous thing you ever seen. And so I popped the guy a good one, and he went crying to his parents. And next thing I know, the church split. For years, I bore the burden of thinking I split the church. Of course, my dad said, hey, no, there's some underlying issues, and so thank the Lord for that. But we went through a church split. Times got tough. We eventually had to close the church, and my dad didn't have a job. About an hour from our house one night, there was a special camp meeting, and my dad wanted to go to the camp meeting. My mom looked at him and said, Neil, we're down to our last $10. She said, here's $10. Go to the camp meeting, and on your way home, buy a loaf of bread and some milk and put the rest in the gas tank. And that's all we had. For some reason, my mom didn't go to the camp meeting that night. She stayed home, and my two brothers and my sister and I and my dad, we went to the camp meeting. And during that camp meeting, they were preaching and having a great time, and somebody had a need. And they say, hey, we're going to take a special offering, and we want you all to give liberally to this offering. So we look down at my dad, and he's getting his wallet out. And my dad takes that $10 bill out of his wallet. And we're sitting here thinking, Dad, don't do that. Mom said, what you got to do with that money? Don't give that money. And I watched my dad take that money and put it in his hand. And he crumpled it up. And his fist was turning white as he was squeezing that $10 bill so hard. The offering plate came by. And I watched my dad do that. Put that $10 bill on the offering plate. We thought, oh, Dad, you're in trouble. What have you done? Who's going to tell Mom that you spent our last $10, put in the offering? They went on with the meeting, and it was an old-fashioned camp meeting, and it lasted 2 or 3 hours. At the close of the service, the pastor prayed, and just before he dismissed the crowd, he said, folks, he said, wait a minute, don't go. He said, you know, he said, Brother Neil's here tonight. He said, Brother Neil just went through a church split. I don't know, maybe Brother Neil's got a need tonight. He said, Brother Neil, why don't you come down front, and I want you to stand right here in front. He said, folks, he said, I'm going to pray. He said, and when I finish praying, he said, I want you guys to come down and just love on Brother Neil. Just come down and give him a hug. Tell him you're praying for him. When the pastor said amen, we watched as people from all over that camp meeting came down and began to hug on my dad. And as they began to hug on my dad, they began to put money in his pockets. My brothers and sister and I were crying. I don't know if we were afraid of my mom or just thankful for what was going on. But for 20 or 30 minutes, people came down and just hugged on my dad and put money in his pockets. We really didn't talk on the way home. He stopped and bought the bread and bought the milk. We got home to my mom and we busted through the door and said, "Mom, you're never going to bust. You're never going to believe what happened." We said, "Dad gave that $10. He put that money in the offering." And my mom, as she always does when she's frustrated with my dad, she said, "Kneel." And my dad said, "But look what God did." And he began to pull out money and throw it on the floor. There was $1,600. So I learned then that it's worth it to pay the cost. It's worth it to give to God. It's worth it to count the cost and sacrifice the finances. Do we have enough faith that God's going to supply what we give? We should. Philippians 4:19 tells us that my God shall supply all my need according to his riches. You know, it's a passage written about missions giving. That promise isn't for everybody. It's for those that get involved in missions. Those that give money to the mission field. You know, what are you teaching your kids? My dad was faithful with least. And today his children have learned that we can trust God with our finances. When's the last time you taught your kids or your grandkids that God will supply the need? When's the last time you created a need with your finances by giving? You know, we pull out our wallets during the offering and we do the Baptist shuffle. We start at the 20s and go all the way down until we get to the ones. That's the Baptist shuffle and we put the ones in. That's what we do. I'm guilty of what I've done in the past. But you know, we need to determine whether the Lord is worthy of our finances or not. Is he worthy of that? Is he worthy of us giving up our finances so that Sid Madden can take Scripture to the border? Is he worthy of our finances so that Lee Carter can win souls in the Dominican Republic? Is God worthy enough to have Mike go and start a church in Boston? Is he worthy enough of Brad starting a church and pastoring a church in Clinton? We have to determine if we're willing to count the cost and pay those finances. You know, it cost Peter his nets. He gave up the nets. It cost the lad his lunch. It cost the widow her two mites. And so Jesus is worthy of paying that cost. He's worthy of every dime that we have. Is he worthy of that in your life? The second thing I see in Luke chapter number 14, verse number 26, it says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, and yea, his own life, he cannot be my disciple." I've learned that it's going to cost us some family and some friends. Serving Jesus will cost you family and friends. You know, loneliness on the mission field is a real struggle. Loneliness in the ministry, period, is a real thing. You know, we've heard in the last year of several pastors having committed suicide. Why? Because they're lonely. Nobody there to help them bear their burdens. And so loneliness is a real thing in the ministry. You know, we don't get to see our families. My dad died on the 4th of July, 2016. Was able to spend a month with my mom. In August 2016, we hit the road again. Haven't seen her since. Haven't seen my brothers or my sister since. Amy's parents left for Africa in 2015. Hadn't seen them since. We've had to determine in our lives that it's okay. Christ is worthy of us giving up our family and our friends. Somebody asked me at the gun range today, so do you have any close friends in Oaxaca? No, we don't. It's hard. It's hard. You know, we can't sit and talk with the people we minister to that they don't understand. Your pastor can't sit and talk with the average church member about things going on in the ministry because he's not going to understand. It's lonely serving the Lord as far as friends and family goes. But it's worth it. We don't get to see our families, but we got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have somebody that's there for us night and day. But I'm not going to lie to you and tell you it's easy. We get homesick. We get homesick. Around the holidays, we do something to distract ourselves. Because most people get to spend holidays with family. Missionaries don't. And it's tough. And please don't misunderstand, I'm not complaining. I'm just speaking honest with you tonight. I'm not complaining one bit. You know, the things we get to experience on the field as far as the victories, man, that far outweighs the struggles. But there'll be a time in your life when you're going to have to determine if Christ is worthy, if he's worthy enough for you to sacrifice some time with your friends and family. You know why sometimes people don't disciple other people? They don't want to give up that time with their family. They don't want to give up that time with their friends. You know, it's maybe an hour, 2 hours a week discipling. Try going 4 years like my wife without seeing her family. I don't know how she's tough. She's done that all her life. Every 4 years, gets to see her family. But you know, Christ is worthy of that sacrifice. Christ was separated from his Father. You know, when he prayed in the garden, let this cup pass from me, he wasn't trying to get from going to the cross. He knew he had to go to the cross. But he was getting ready to spend 3 days separated from his Father, and he'd never experienced that before. But you know, he was willing to do that. Why? Because he counted you and I worthy enough to do that. The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. You and I are that joy. And you and I, we can endure that suffering. Why? Because we can see people come to Christ. That's the joy that's set before us. So I want to encourage you tonight to count the cost and be willing to sacrifice some time with your friends and family to serve the Lord. Whether it be on the mission field, whether it be serving in the ministry, whether it be discipling, I want to encourage you guys, disciple somebody. Yeah. Disciple somebody. The Bible says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. That can be your physical children or your discipleship children. And what a joy that is. We have a young lady in our ministry. She began attending in September of 2016. Our most faithful person. She went through our discipleship. Tonight she taught a teenage class. She's led 3 people to the Lord. That's what it's all about. We have joy knowing that our spiritual daughter is walking in the truth. She's producing fruit that remains. I mean, that's what it's all about. And it's just going to cost you a little sacrifice. It's going to cost you a little finance. It's going to cost you a little time with your family. It's going to cost you a little time with your friends. Another thing I see in Luke chapter number 14. Of course, in verse 26, we read that if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life. It's going to cost us our identity. Somebody mentioned that this week. It's going to cost us our identity. You know, for many years I was known as Neil's son. Oh, there's Neil's son. I mean, that was a great title to have. But I had to finally say, okay, I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to be Neil's son anymore. I'm going to go and I'm going to be Missionary Joe. You know, I was known as a manager at Feral Gas. I was doing pretty well. For a while, that was my identity. And I grew tired of that identity. Why? Because I wanted to identify with Christ. I wanted to have a new identity. You know, what you do does not determine who you are. Who you serve determines who you are. Who you've given your life to determines who you are. And so there's some things about ourselves we've had to change. We've had to go through some tough patches so that Christ can give us our new identity. Mark chapter number 1. Mark chapter number 1, it's, you guys know this and you've seen this before. In verse number 16, it says, "Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I what? Will make." He had to change their identity. They went from fishers of men to, or fishers of fish to fishers of men. Gave him a new identity. You know, we need to let the Lord make us to what he needs us to be. You know, so many times we'll serve the Lord if the Lord will let us remain who we are. But no, he wants to give us a new identity. He wants to make us to become what he wants us to become, not what we think we should become. And so he's got to change our identity. You know, I'm a type A personality and I like to work. I like to schedule my time. I like to get in, get out, go to the next thing, get in, get out. When we first got to Oaxaca, I thought, man, I'm going to go visit a couple people. You know, I'll be back in an hour. Got to the first visit. 3 hours later, I was still visiting. That was very difficult for me. Very hard for me. And I had to ask the Lord, I need you to help me with this. I need you to change who I am. And so now when we go to, we only schedule one visit a day because we realize, hey, we're going to be there a long time. But that wasn't me, man. I like to get in, get out, and get on to the next thing. So the Lord had to use that. He had to mold me and he had to make me. You know, he had to give me a new identity. He had to give me a new language. Very difficult preaching in Spanish. I get done and my head's hurting. Why? Because my body's used to speaking in English. And I finally had to realize it wasn't my ability. Go back to 1 Peter, if you would. Chapter number 4. Verse number 11, 1 Peter 4:11 says, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth." See, God's going to give you a new ability. God's going to change your identity. He's going to give you, he's going to equip you with what you need to serve him. He's going to customize you for the job he has for you. Are you willing to let him make you what you need to become? Are you willing to let him change your life a little bit? You say, well, I'm 60 years old. 71-year-old man right there. God's had to change him and make him. Give him an ability that he didn't have before. You know, sometimes, I'm too young to serve the Lord. No, I'm too old to serve. No, we just sacrifice ourselves, submit to God, and let him equip us. You know, so many times we're so quick with the excuses and don't give God time to work. Just give God time to work in your life. Let him mold you and make you. It'll cost you your identity. The last thing I want to share with you tonight that's going to cost you is it's going to cost you your comfort zone. It's going to cost you. He's going to have you do things that are not comfortable to you. You know why we don't go soul winning? Because it's uncomfortable. It's hard. It's hard to talk to other people. But you know, the Bible says he sent us a comforter. And John chapter 16 describes that comforter. And you know, I found out that I don't use the comforter unless I'm uncomfortable. The comforter can't do his job if I'm not uncomfortable. And so we need to put ourselves in situations where we're uncomfortable so the Holy Spirit can do his job. That includes telling others about Christ. That includes discipling others. That includes going to a foreign land to share the gospel. That includes going to Cass County and sharing the gospel. Well, it's uncomfortable. That's great. You've got a comforter. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you've got that comforter. Amen. And he will work in you and through you. Sometimes we just need to get out of the way and let him work. Several months ago, a little boy died, I think maybe back in November. One of our ladies in the church called me and said, Pastor, she said, will you go see my cousin? She has a 12-year-old son in the hospital. He's very sick. So I got busy and did a few things first, and later on that evening I called this lady and said, hey, your cousin, your aunt told me that your son is sick. And through the tears and the crying and the sobs, she said, he just passed away about 3 minutes ago. Wow. I can't remember. I was on my way somewhere. I can't remember where I was going. I called Amy and said, hey, I need you to bring me a change of clothes. Get in a taxi and come meet me. We got to go to the hospital. So we get to the hospital, and this mom is, we've never met this lady before in our lives. Her name's Janet. And she's just bawling and crying. Pretty uncomfortable. So we just hugged on her, prayed with the family. In Mexico, they do things a little bit different than they do here in the States. The dad finally came and said, can you wait just a few minutes, Pastor? He said, they're getting ready to release the body to us. He said, I've called a funeral home and they're going to send a vehicle to get the body. And so the vehicle came, the van came, and they asked us to go out to the morgue and had this white casket about that long. We had to load the casket into the van. And the dad said, hey, can you take my wife and her parents, can you drive them to our house? You see, in Mexico, when somebody dies, they do all the paperwork, they put the body in a casket and send the casket to the house. They don't embalm, they don't clean the body up. Just however, whatever state they were in when they passed away, that's the state they give you the body. And so we go to the house. Once the body arrives to the house, people begin to come and visit. And you sit there all night long. And so we sat there and just prayed and asked God to help and intervene. And then the little boy's sister, the little boy that passed away, his sister came up to us and said, hey, would you like to meet my brother? They had the casket open. Pretty uncomfortable. Pretty uncomfortable. Never seen a dead body that had just died within a few hours. We cried out, Holy Spirit, help us. God, we need you right now. So we went up and saw the body and just cried with the family and just loved on them. This was back in November, December. Pretty uncomfortable. 3 weeks ago, the mom came to church and got saved. Why? Because we were willing to be uncomfortable. We were willing to depend on the Comforter to help us. If you learn to depend on the Comforter, great things will happen. If you realize you don't have to do anything but depend on him and let him do the work, he'll work through you. You know, Isaiah says that hell hath enlarged itself. You know why hell hath enlarged itself? Because we're too uncomfortable to share the gospel. People are dying and going to hell, and it's not big enough. It's got to enlarge itself. Let that sink in. All because we're too uncomfortable. All because we can't step out of our comfort zone. All because we don't want to lose our identity. All because we don't want to financially get involved. Again, I said the other night, I know it's their sins that send them to hell. But it's our fault for not giving them the remedy. It's our fault. And I'm not trying to be critical or offensive, but whose fault is it that the armory is not up and running? It's not God's fault. It's our fault. Whose fault is it that the scriptures don't get to the border and don't get to go where they need to go on time? It's our fault. And there's people waiting on the remedy. There's people waiting on the cure. But we're too uncomfortable to do anything about it. We're too selfish with our money to do anything about it. We're unwilling to lose our identity to do anything about it. Lord, help us. You know, Paul determined that Christ was worthy. Let me encourage you, my friend, it's a joy and a privilege to follow Christ. Anything that we've sacrificed, He's provided for us. We sacrifice our finances, He gives it back. We sacrifice our friends and family, He's the one that sticks closer to us than a brother. We sacrifice our comfort zone, He gives us a comforter. We sacrifice our identity, He gives us a new identity. All we're doing is changing something minor for something major. It's worth the cost to follow Christ. It's worth the cost to serve God. It's worth the cost to lead somebody to Christ. It's worth the cost to disciple somebody. I want to ask you tonight, are you willing to pay that cost? As Brother Sid said, maybe you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. It's going to cost you a little humility to bow before God and ask Him to save you. But a little humility is going to gain you eternal life. Give away something minor to get something major. I'm going to encourage you tonight to accept Christ as your Savior. Let me encourage you tonight that if you are willing to count the cost, one day you'll hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with little. Enter thou in the joy of the Lord." I long to hear those words. You know, my dad died before I got to go to the mission field. Never got to see me in Mexico. That's okay, because one day I'm going to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," from my heavenly Father. It'll be worth it all. One day we'll have crowns to cast at His feet. If you count the cost, you won't be standing there empty-handed. You have crowns to cast at His feet. If we pay the cost, one day we'll be able to say that we fought the good fight. We've kept the faith. We finished our course. I want that on my tombstone. He finished His course. He counted the cost and deemed Christ worthy of whatever small sacrifice He had to pay. Are you willing to count that cost tonight? Are you willing to let God use you? There's empty chairs in this room tonight. I can't stay and help you fill them. That's your job. Get out of your comfort zone. Fill the chairs. Lose your identity in Christ and fill the chairs. Invest your dollars to fill the chairs. He's worthy. He's worthy. Let's bow for prayer.